to her, and what, oh my, what's going to happen now? And it wasn't too long after the word got out through the internet and Facebook that there were over 100 people praying for this person. And the prayer warriors went up and prayed. Prayed for a pain that would be gone. Prayed that there would be a prompt remission. How instant that was, a little while. And through texting, and we are so used to an instant answer or instant communication in our walk from day to day, and we forget about the patience and the prayerful persistence of waiting and letting God take His holy moment to deliver the answer. In our text, Jesus is speaking to us this morning. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while and you will see me. He's speaking this the Maundy Thursday evening with the disciples in the upper room as they were celebrating the Passover meal. And so he's kind of preparing them for, it's going to be a tough next 24 hours for you people. And yes, a little while you'll not see me. And then a little while later, you will. And of course the disciples are sitting there, what? Scratching their head and wincing. I don't understand what you are saying. They were really, even though Jesus had several times pointed to the fact, yeah, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be lifted up on the cross, and I will rise again. But it didn't sink into the disciples. Just, they wouldn't grasp the depth of what Jesus was saying. Even right now as he's speaking, they don't grasp it. They ask questions about it. But they forget, and we often forget, time from God's point of view is quite different. The psalmist says, 1,000 years in your sight is like a day. And a day that has just gone by is like a watch in the night. Quick. God is timeless. Peter, in his epistle, says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So it's very important to think about this concept. God is timeless in his eternity. We are bound in time, so we get caught in watching our clocks and being careful about promptness if we're headed for work or even for church. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Yeah, they did. The world and the devil was jumping up and down because Jesus was crucified. And you disciples, you're going to be very sorrowful. But I tell you, your joy, your sorrow is going to turn to joy. There's going to be a change, a transformation. That focuses us on the cross. Because in the perspective of things, Jesus suffered and died on the cross for about 6 hours. But 6 hours in the span of time is short. It's a little while. But the magnitude of that little while is dynamically eternal. For in Christ's suffering and death on the cross, he is winning for us our forgiveness. In accordance with the scriptures, he pays for our sins on the cross. There is the dynamic little while that makes and transforms our whole salvation for an eternity. That little while is an amazing dynamic that we hold to strongly and we focus on daily and come and worship weekly to focus on, again, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he paid the price for our sins. Therefore, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance to take the head and focus on what Jesus has given. Who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus' little while, completed when he ascended into heaven, is now at the right hand of the throne of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet he is open to our prayers. He's open to our little whiles, whatever they are, that we can bring them to him and hear his promises. Sorrow of contrition and time, every service we gather, we have a time of confession. It's a time to look at ourselves and say, yes, we have failed in many ways. And in a transition period, we look at ourselves as a congregation. We say, well, there were some things we could have done differently in our ministries and in our service to our Lord. And so we look and they say, if we had, we'll sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is a time to admit we need God's forgiveness and we need to clean the slate and begin anew. And that's exactly how God comes to assure us of that cleansing as we gather around the table of the Lord and receive his very body and blood, in with and under the humble forms of bread and wine, that we might know and be touched with his presence and know his little while of forgiveness and grace. A little while. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. Opened a whole new vista for the kingdom of God and for his church. In a little while, Jesus rose and forgiveness was sure. Joy was restored to the disciples. They were overwhelmed with the reality and yet they were filled with joy that Jesus was alive. And that's the blessing that we celebrate this post-Easter Sunday, is we also reflect the joy of Jesus Christ in our hearts, risen and alive. He's risen, he's not here, the angel said to the women. He says that again to us as we celebrated Easter. He's not in the grave, he is with us as we gather to worship. He's with us as we commune. He's with us as we pray. He's with us as we go through a calling process. He's with the pastor that you will call. He is with us. We see him through the eyes of faith. So, joy. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it was tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Really important for us to realize, yeah, we have moments where we sorrow, but there's also a rejoicing that God promises as we focus on Jesus, we focus on his love, we focus on his holy will in our lives. And as Peter wrote, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So if there's anything to celebrate, it's the reality that we are redeemed, that we have the promise of heaven, that we know we will live with our Lord forever and rejoice in his holy mansion. What a gift that he gives us. And all the reason why we should celebrate and rejoice in our walk with him from day to day. Our joy and our hope is in Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. We gather together as a church, but our mission is most important. And often we get too focused on mission and we fail to see that God has given us a global mission and a way in which we can reach out across the world with the gospel. And we never know exactly how that is going to transform or be applied in your walk as people of God. But through worship, through prayer, through your service to the Lord, in various ways as God has talented and gifted you, that you can reach out to others. But always the message, as we bring it out, is that of the cross of Christ. And it always also focuses on the resurrection of our Lord, that we know Jesus Christ is here present and commissions us as we serve and honor him from day to day. We have the forgiveness of sins through Christ so that we may go forth and bring joy to all who believe and bring that news of salvation to others. A powerful message that God has given us in Christ. Celebrate the joy, eternal life. Rejoice that you have that possession and let it fill you with enthusiasm and joy for how you serve the Lord and how you look for the future, that you have a very blessed opportunity and a bright future in the Lord. Remember your baptism. Remember, you're a child of God. Remember that you are blessed, and then you are forgiven through the body and blood of Christ. You are forgiven and made new as we do day from day, week to week. Remember also the blessings God has given Holy Trinity over the past 57 years. Think of all the ways that God has blessed you in different ministries, different leaders, different opportunities to reach into the community, and he has sustained you over these 57 years. What a gift. And now you're going to begin another chapter. What does that chapter look like? How is it going to reflect the glory and love of Christ? How are we going to bring joy to our community and to beyond our borders and city limits? How do we do that? This is a transition. But remember, this transition time is a little while. In this perspective of 57 years, it is a really little while. So keep focused, prayerful, and keep conscious. This is a little while. And in a little while, you will have an answer. You will know who your next shepherd will be. God knows already. We just need to let ourselves be led by the Lord, and he will show us who your pastor is. We have a new pastor. In a little while, it will take some time. Even after you extend a call, he has to finish his ministry. He has to decide, first of all, what he wants, what the Spirit of God wants him to do. If he decides yes to take the call, then he has to close his ministry, get his family prepared, and make the move. It takes time. But in the perspective of things, it's a little while. And so patiently, prayerfully place that pastor on your prayer list on a daily basis. And finally, reflect the joy of Jesus in your life. Celebrate all the goodness that God has given you and be thankful in your heart because of what God has given to you, the faith, the focus in our Savior Jesus. God grant you that patience, focused in Christ. Amen. And the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.